I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. My name is Benji, and today's guest is Jens Haugland, who is both the CEO of the Norwegian branch of UNOX and the general manager of UNOX Pro Cycling Team. First of all, welcome, and I'd like to ask you a simpler question to start off with. You're the general manager of a cycling team. What responsibilities fall under that role?
Thanks, Benji. Glad to be invited to this legendary podcast. General manager, I would say basically you're responsible for everything. Okay. It's the head lead of the team, and the final responsibility in every case will potentially end up at my desk, and that's just the role of a general manager in a positive way, and also some days a negative way.
When it comes to the UNOX men's team, UNOX became a name sponsor, I think, in 2017 for the men's team in the continental rankings back then. By 2020, the team had moved up to the Pro Tour division. What are the men's ambitions in the coming years? Are there plans for World Tour and so forth?
Yeah, we have been, it's only been 5 years, and we're still considered to be quite a young business in this game. I'm actually also quite young in this business of general managers. But we have seen that the way we have found our identity and our way in this system has been really good for us, for the team, but also for our business. And we've said very openly that we don't have these very detailed long-term plans, but we want to create a system for development of, in particular, Scandinavian riders that potentially can fulfill dreams for a lot of people in our countries. And if that ends up in the World Tour, then it's where we deserve to be. We will apply for the license in 23 now for the men's team. We already got it for the women's team. So that's one signal about ambitions, but I think it's even more important just to be very clear about the identity and the philosophy of our project, and then we will see where it takes us at the end.
Yeah, certainly development seems to be the big part of the team so far. We had wonderful riders already crossed to other World Tour teams in the past. For example, Tobias Foss went to Jumbo after winning the Tour de l'Avenir in your final year at UNOX. Then we had Andreas Leknessun going to DSM, Jonas Wiedeberg recently going to DSM, Peter Pietersen, I think, to Bahrain, but I'm not 100% sure about that one. With the men's team's desire of aiming for that promotion to World Tour, you're talking about the development is the most important part, but how does one strike the balance between allowing strong riders to leave to other World Tour teams, yet keeping strength to be able to keep up that development pathway and potentially not damage the future World Tour status?
Yeah, super good question. I would be glad if you can pass that on to Edwin van der Sar or something, because I've been very open about the fact that even at a World Tour level, we think that we can be a system known for our development of young riders, having a young average level in the team, of course, in combination with experienced riders as well. And if you look into Ajax Amsterdam and how they perform as a team, they have years being crazy good. At the moment, they are in that situation. Mm-hmm. And then they have 2 years, 3 years struggling a bit more, but they're still in the Champions League, still fighting for development of their players. And they never compromise in terms of how to play the game and the identity of the system. And this is where we want to be as well. We are very conscious about how we want to be seen as a team. And I will always support riders when they leave. And I will always say that you're welcome back. And that's just a part of coming from Scandinavia, I think, in a big cycling world where you need to recognize that in the worlds of Ineos and UIS and Jumbo Vismas, you need to know your position, and I'm trying to find it for our team.
Yeah, I get that. We've seen the team at the forefront of World Tour cycling as well this year already in 2021. I remember E3 with Marcus Hulgaard in top 10. I remember Kuno Brezza-Kuno, which should be a World Tour race, let's be honest about it. And I think Jonas Vedeberg was in the breakaway there.
I ended up with Mathieu,
So all in all, your team has shown in World Tour and at the forefront of cycling that they're honestly a good team. And the people see that, and the people see that that is a team that they want to root for because you're always at the forefront. I think also in the Tour of the Alps in one of the earlier stages, I think in the first few stages, I remember Marcus Hulgaard doing very well as well. But can we expect a similar race schedule in 2022 than 2021?
Well, I hope this race schedule will be somewhat strengthened. So Belgium is basically our second home as a team. We have two service courses down there, a lot of staff. We love racing in Belgium. It's very comparable, I think, for Norwegian and Danish athletes in terms of how we are built as people. So the courses fit us really well. Great parkours, and it's the home of cycling. So I really hope that we can step it up again. We're really happy about getting the E3 invitation last year. I think Marcus showed that we deserved it on behalf of the team. And I hope that we can do more World Tour races in Belgium in the spring season. So let's see what the communication will be in the weeks to come from the organizers. And as I said, we are not from Belgium or France or Italy or Spain. So we have to stick into this for long term and just hope that we get the invitations based on how we perform as a system and how we are recognized. And we are seeing small signs of that, and hopefully it's not the end station, and we will just keep on working.
Certainly. I think when it comes to the Grand Tours, it's very difficult to get a wild card as a Pro Conti team. We look at the Italian Giro d'Italia, where it feels a bit politically, from my point of view, where Italian teams are basically invited more than other teams. And, you know, X doesn't really have that Scandinavian Grand Tour or something that they can be invited to from that aspect. And with the Tour de France, the French teams also get a bit of an advantage. With the Vuelta, we've got Euskaltel and Equipo Ken Pharma and so forth. So the Spanish teams. Now, it's difficult to get into a Grand Tour, but if you had to choose, which of the three would you like to be invited to?
Ah, tough question, of course, but in Norway in particular, the Tour de France lies very close to our hearts with the history of Hushovd and Kristoff and Edvald Boasson Hagen. We are also a product of these riders. This is why cycling has grown so much in Norway the last 10, 15 years, based on these guys. So, of course, having two teams at the start line of Tour de France is a huge dream for us. And we are very open about that. And for the last 2 years, I've had the winners of Tour de l'Avenir. So it's not like, and the winners the 2 years before, those two guys were Pogacar and Bernal. So it's not like I have a Muppet Show on the road. I have a very, very strong team. So hopefully it is recognized, but I understand it's a tough call for the organizers in Grand Tours. Also, we need to emphasize the importance of having strong national development systems in Italy, Spain, and France, because it generates a lot of attention for our sport. So it's a fine balance. And I guess it's partly up to the UCI and partly up to the organizer. And maybe they will help us a bit with the 23 teams or something.
Yeah, let's hope so. You spoke about Hushovd, you spoke about Boasson Hagen and Kristoff. I know that Arvidsson is an important factor behind the team at UNOX. He's a rider that, when I was a kid, I was playing on Pro Cycling Manager with him as one of my riders. So he's certainly still also one of those riders for me. I think he had a great couple result at some point. Was it Dwars door Vlaanderen or something? It's been a while. But
he won the E3 and
E3, yes, that was it.
He has a Giro stage win and he has Tour de France stage win. So he has quite some results, and he's been with me from day one. Fantastic sports director in our team.
How important is the factor of having a rider with such an icon image in the team for the development of young riders? Is that something that adds on to it, or is that something just extra?
Well, it adds on because you are listened to. When Kurt Oschler speaks about his experience and advices, give advices to our young riders, they listen because they know that he has a career behind him, both as a rider and sports director in Sky/Ineos. That's really recognizable. And I think, his experience and also how to say it, his sense of understanding racing has helped a lot of riders in our team and will continue to do so.
Yeah, certainly. Now, on to that Avenir topic that you spoke about. Tobias Foss won 2 years ago in his last year in U23 business, let's say. Tobias Halland Johannessen won it last year in a spectacular manner. Oh, that was a close one at the end. Carlos Rodriguez just about missing out.
Way too close. I lost my sleep a couple of days there. I'm still dreaming about Rodriguez catching him.
Yeah. So in all honesty, Carlos Rodriguez is a great rider. So beating him on that terrain is certainly proving that he can be a proper rider as well. He's shown already that Johannessen has a GC prospect future. And therefore, my question is, he's contracted until 2024. Is there a specific pathway that you have set for him? Or is it like, what is the plan with Johannessen in UNOX?
The plan with, and it's Johannessen's, I also have to mention, because his brother also won a stage at the L'Avenir and came top 10 in the GC, basically helping his twin brother to the win. Our plan with the Johannessens is to make sure that they get a schedule they deserve, that they develop in the way that we think are right for them. Of course, we gave them a solid contract for the 3 years to come. They totally deserved it based on the performances and also based on market value. And I think it's about common trust. And my system will never keep riders if we are limiting their potential. And that goes also for Tobias and Anders and also other talents we have in the team. But I think we have now a setup of young riders being on the pro circuit road now for the next 1, 2, 3 years in UNOX jerseys. Well, we will have quite some team. And their biggest dream is to grow into the World Tour with our team. And then it's up to me to make sure that happens.
Yep, certainly. So we spoke about the men's team quite a bit already. Let's go over to the women's team. You recently, the team has recently, or UNOX has recently brought up the women's team for 2022, the first year, and instantly to the Women's World Tour. So it's nice, let's be honest. And I wanted to ask firstly, when the idea of building a women's cycling team was brought up, were there already rumors of the Tour de France Femmes becoming a thing, or was that an added bonus that made the step even more viable?
Yeah, it was already. I kind of expected that to happen. We knew that Paris-Roubaix would show up and Tour de France, and so that was of course one initiator. But the number one trigger is the fact that we are running a professional system in Scandinavia. And running that only for a men's team, that doesn't sound good at all. Why shouldn't you do it for a women's team as well? But we just had to have some years to learn how to organize, how to build an organization, what does our staff level look like, and how can we then create a replica of that into the women's team? And that's basically our thought. And then it was a management night, having a couple of beers and discussing what to do next. And then the decision were made, and I signed off the press release.
Great. Awesome. I'm happy that you did. Let's be sure.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
We've seen a significant increase of race days in Women's World Tour. For example, the Battle of the North being arisen recently, 6-day stage race, supposedly a World Tour stage race as well, somewhere, I think in September somewhere. I'm not 100% certain about it. But when it comes to the Battle of the North, is that an important race for the Women's World Tour schedule for this team? Or, for example, the Tour de France Femmes is most likely the most important one, as I'm guessing the media interest and so forth is an important factor. But how important do you see the Battle of the North?
It's really important because it's in Denmark, Sweden and Norway. And we have not had the Norwegian riders winning a stage in Ladies Tour of Norway yet. Now that is converted into the Battle of North. And of course, that's a huge ambition of us, making sure that we can put Susanne Andersen or one of our other riders in that position. I think the whole development in the women's cycling is just what we see in the society in general, and Battle of North having such a great concept between the countries in Scandinavia. I think it's a lot of, to profit from our sport perspective, but also, of course, from a Uniex business perspective. One of the most important races of the year.
Okay, certainly. Now, we see that that adds a lot of race days throughout the season. I think it's now up to 70 and a bit. We see that, for example, the roster of the UNOX women's team is 12 riders. Do you think that that's going to have to grow in the coming years because it won't be viable to have such a limited team for so many race days?
I think you can take over my job, Benji, because it's certainly the case that we are thinking about that. And I'm not saying we're going to stay like that even for this season. We have an opportunity already starting the 1st of June to adjust for that. Yeah. We will spend the time wisely now going into the sprint classics and learn and see. We have a lot of young riders as well. So we just have to learn a bit about this and see the schedule and how the riders respond to it. But we will for sure not be 12 riders, I think, in the years to come. And to be frank, we have to say 11 because Eleanor Barker is pregnant, as you know, and she will give birth hopefully in a couple of months' time.
Recently, we've seen multiple announcements that UNOX has continued and started sponsorships and partnerships with local clubs for the men's team. I'm guessing that that is for the development of young riders to make sure there's a continuous flow of talent to their development team and then the actual UNOX team?
Yeah, so what we have done, we have a very, quite a big sponsorship deal with the Danish Federation in Denmark. And in Norway, we have had that with the Norwegian Federation. It's still ongoing. But I also want to really recognize the work that is done in the clubs. And without the broadness of development and young kids on the bike, how can we end up with having riders on the top level? And we are quite a huge part of our society in Norway from a sporting perspective, but also from our business perspective. And it just makes totally sense to give back to the people working on a voluntary basis to make sure that our kids are on the bike. So that's my thinking of it. And it's been a part of our system basically since we started in 14 and 15. And hopefully that will create some riders from both genders that we don't know about yet. And we will see.
About the situation of development of young boys and girls, do you think there is currently how's the balance between the two in Norway and Sweden and so forth when it comes to these local clubs?
It depends on age, a bit skewed later on in the youth, but early there it's I would say almost 50-50, but then things happen and so on. So you need to make sure that you have strong club environments, making sure that it's fun to sit on the bike. You don't talk about weight too early or what to eat too early or what bike to use. Just make sure that you have fun and that you have organized and good club leaders and trainers and then things will happen. It has already happened, I think, for many years in Denmark. Look at the amount of riders coming out of that system. Yeah. That comes of a reason. I think we can manage the same in Norway. But it's not, you can just sit down, wait and relax and see what happens. You have to put efforts into it.
Yeah, quite certainly. You've mentioned quite a few times that the project is a long-term goal, both the men's and the women's team. The women's team is already a World Tour team, but still, it's still a long-term goal. I expect to achieve something in the future or achieve a more idealist Norwegian and Swedish and Scandinavian cycling culture in professional cycling in general. But if you had to think about one dream result that you have in mind in the far future, what would you like to see happen, even if it's not from UNOX or if UNOX had a part in the development that a Scandinavian rider could achieve? What do you want to see happen?
I think it's difficult not to mention, of course, the Grand Tours for both genders, to see one of the riders that we started off with being transformed into a great Grand Tour rider. It was fantastic to see Tobias Foss coming top 10 last year for Jumbo-Visma, and we cheer for him in these moments. That is, of course, one huge dream. And I've been to quite some worlds now. And just seeing the rainbow jersey on the UNOX riders, that's totally iconic, I must say. And we will see how we will do in the Wollongong.
Yeah, that place. my podcast co-host will be slightly offended by the Australian pronunciations.
But... I'm sorry, it was not my intention to offend your Australian.
Not listener. My problem.
But I think there's a guy from Serbia having bigger issues with that at the moment.
Yeah, I think so as well. Anyway, I do want to thank you for all the time that you spend here talking about all the stuff, you know, X. I want to thank you for coming on, and I do appreciate you taking your time for this. Once again, I look forward to see what UNOX has to offer in the coming years. Seems like a very fun project, and you seem very hyped about it, and it's infectious. It makes other people enthusiastic about it as well. So keep it up, and I hope to see a lot from it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate. I will stay hyped.
Yeah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.